That is cool. Lee, you realize this is our 20th Easter together, me and you. 20 Easters. Nobody else could put up with me and you but me and you. That's true. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm glad you got to hear that. I want to thank you guys for allowing me and my wife off. We take a weekend a month off and go camping and kind of think about things and sort of a sabbatical. And I thank Tate for filling in for me last week. I'm thankful for these young guys that are coming and stepping up. And, you know, I'm thankful that my daughter calls me at 10:45 excited about Tate's message. And then my son stays twice. He listens to him twice. I don't think he's ever did that for me. As I prayed about the message this week, I couldn't get released from our series that we're in, Spiritual Growth Through Prayer. We're in part 11 of it. For those of you guys that are visiting, I know I've been in a personal revival as we've been in this series, Spiritual Growth Through Prayer. We've seen a lot of things. We've seen God manifest himself in a lot of different ways. So I want to continue in that. And like I said, we're in part 11. So if you missed those first 10 lessons, You can get our CDs, they're free, or you can go to on your phone a free app called Stitcher, and you can download those and listen to them if you want to catch up. But today's title is How to Pray for Healing and Restoration, and I just couldn't get away from that. We're living in some very unusual days. It seems like the economy's going real good, but not much else. The stock market's at record levels, and there's more people at work right now than there have been in decades. But I think we're experiencing material prosperity and moral poverty. And it just seems like every week or so, there's another shooting. It seems like there's another scandal. Bigotry, opioids are big, and conflicts, addictions. And the news just doesn't seem very good, and I don't even watch it. People tell me about it, or I read about it. And so I wanted to continue in this series because I believe we need a national healing in America, if not the global healing. We need healing in our schools. We need healing in our businesses, our government, our neighborhoods, our communities, our families. We need healing in our lives, our personal lives, our minds, and our hearts. So how do you pray for healing and restoration? And I'm talking about physical, but I'm also talking about more than that too. I'm talking about healing of minds and healing of relationships and finances. There's so many areas out there that needs to be restored, that needs a healing. So what I want to do this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to encourage you to come back next Sunday, is to learn how to pray for healing, for each other and restoration. And I'm going to start it off with a promise made to King Solomon from God about 3,000 years ago. Because that promise still stands today for all of his people. At the top of your outline, a very popular verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Out of that verse, I want you to circle the word heal. because we're going to talk about it, you know, this week and next. Just circle that word, heal. And I want to point out a couple of things before we kind of dissect this verse or tear this verse apart. The first thing I want to point out is this is not a promise for everybody. This is because he says, if my people. And so this promise is for the people of God. Well, who are the people of God? Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12. He said, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So whoever does the will of my Father. And so my question for you is, have you done what the Father said to do, which is to receive his Son and to follow him and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, then this promise is for you. You are his people. You are his people. That promise is for you. And so the second thing I want to point out is it says, called by my name. Called by my name. If my people are called by my name. I wonder, you know, sometimes if you've ever been embarrassed or to identify yourself as a Christian. If you've ever been embarrassed to identify yourself as a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. A lot of people these days are bold about their beliefs. But a lot of Christians don't say a word at the office. A lot of disciples don't say a word at the plant or on the work floor. And nobody knows. Only God knows for sure. And I want to tell you something. There is no secret agent, Christians. So if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, then you need to be called by his name. You need to stand up for Christ. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Because he says in his words, if you're ashamed of me, then one day I will be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Well, along with this promise that he gives, going back to this verse, he gives four conditions. We're only going to talk about two of them today. Here's what I want you to know about these four conditions. With every promise, there's always a premise. And what I mean by that, with every promise, there's always conditions. And God says, I'll do this, I will hear, and then I will heal your land. But there's four conditions before the promise, four conditions of healing and restoration. Now, I don't know what you need restored in your life. I don't know what you need healed. It might be your marriage. It may be your job, your business, your body, your health, your finances restored. I don't know what needs healing in your life. Only you do that. You know what needs healing. But the principles of this passage that we're talking about apply to every area of healing and restoration. So if you do this and understand it, here's what I promise you. You can expect a healing. You can expect a restoration. You can expect a healing in your marriage, a restoration in your relationships, in your business. You can expect it if you do this and understand it. Because God says, if you do this, I will do that. And you can trust God. The four conditions. We're only going to do two of them. So hope you're writing down here. Hope you all got pencils. We're only going to do two of them. It's important that you know all four. So, you know, if you don't come back next week, you're just going to be halfway there. Amen? So here's the first two. Number one, I admit that I'm not in control. I admit that I'm not in control. This is the first condition for healing and restoration in any area of your life. Admit that you can't control it and that you're not in control. Do you know what admitting that you're not in control is? Humility. That's all that is you're saying God is God and I'm not. He says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves. You see, humility is the first step to healing. We can't approach God arrogantly. We can't approach God proudly. We says, come humbly. And did you know that all throughout the Bible that you are never commanded to pray for humility? Never. And I don't think you should. Humility is a choice. You choose to be humble. Humility is something that you do yourself. It says humble yourself. Something you do. Well, what is humility? What does it look like? How do I develop it? How do I do that? How do I show God? Well, I made a list, and I'm going to go through them fast, so don't try to write them down. I didn't give you enough space anyway. You can write them down if you want to, but if you want them, just let me know, and I'll email them to you. But I made a list of about a dozen ways. The very first way for you to be humble is, number one, confess your sin to God the moment you realize it. Confess your sin to God the moment you realize it. Keep a short account with God. The second thing that to be humble is this. Humility is forgiving quickly. Forgiving quickly. If you don't forgive quickly, it's prideful. I want to tell you something. If you carry a grudge, and don't nudge him or her. I see some of it going on already. Y'all think these lights are blinding me, but they're not. If you carry a grudge, that's prideful. It's prideful. Let me say that again. If you carry a grudge, it is prideful. I wrote down here, when you're treated unfairly, be quiet and patient. And do not retaliate. Do not retaliate. You don't have to defend yourself against false accusations. You don't have to defend yourself when people say mean things that are untrue. You see, this happened to Jesus Christ. This happened to him too. And it took him to the cross. And what I'm saying is this. Absorb the attacks. Absorb the attacks that people make on you. The next one I put was, to become humble is you look for ways to serve others instead of expecting to be served. Look for ways to serve other people and instead of expecting them to be served. Then the next one I wrote is, when you accept criticism and correction graciously, that's being humble. When you accept criticism and correction graciously. Then the next one I wrote down, and I was so happy to see it happen this morning. I wrote down, when you don't try to get the best seat or parking spot. You know what happened this morning when I got here? Some of the leaders of the church were parking the furthest away. They were humbling themselves. They were parked in the furthest spots. And then as I was walking in, I looked, and one of the lady leaders of the church parked in the furthest corner. Humble people don't fight for the best spot. Humble people don't park the closest. Humble. What else did I write down here? Oh, Jeff wanted me to add one that went along that lines. Humble people return their buggies to the parking corral food line. Isn't that right, what he said? I didn't know it was called a corral. Humble people return their buggies to the buggy corral at food line. Then I wrote down, when you intentionally befriend people who have no status, or who can't help you, or overlooked by society, who don't, can't, and won't serve you, that are unpopular, when you befriend them, you're humble. When you humble yourself. When you befriend those people. You're humble when you are respectful to the authorities in your life, even the bad ones. You're humble. Humbling is when you pick up the trash wherever you find it. Humility is when you leave a public restroom cleaner than when you found it. It's just the little things that mean something. It's the little things. It's the little stuff that no one notices, that they will never see. Humility is when you admit your weaknesses and your sins to a few safe people. Safe people, not to everyone. Some safe people that are around you. I've always told you that revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. Next I put, when you're able to say, you know, I'm not good at this. Or this is my weak point. Here's where I'm struggling. This temptation is where I struggle. I believe, really, if there was more confession of temptations in small group, that there would be less confession of sin. If there would just be more of that. The next one I put, when you can always speak well of others and never stoop to the level of people who put you down. Then the last one I put, humility is when you pray for your enemies. Those people that you don't like. Those people that you didn't vote for. When you can pray for them. Those are marks of humility. Then I wrote the question, I guess this was mainly to myself, why would anybody live like that? It's hard. You see, because humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's what humility is. You become, when you're humble, you become so focused on God and other people, you don't even think about yourself. Instead of walking into a party worrying about what you look like, your concern is there someone here that I can encourage? Is there someone here that I can help? That's humility. And then I wrote another question. Really? Why would anybody want to live like that? Well, because of what God does for me if I'm humble. If I'm humble. And I want to give you real quick, because God loves humble people. So I want to give you four things that God does in your life if you are humble. Real quick, filling in these outlines. If I'm humble, God will guide me. If I'm humble, God will guide me. You ever been there? You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what step to take. You don't know where to get in or get out. You don't want to hold on to or let go. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know whether to scratch your watch or wind your butt. God will guide you on which one to scratch. Psalm 25:9 says this, God leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. Here's what this tells me, is God's will is not given to prideful, arrogant people. God's will is given to humble people. Not prideful, not arrogant. The second benefit we receive for being humble is this. If I'm humble, God will bless me. Isaiah 66:2 says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts. God does not bless ego trippers. God does not bless prideful people who secretly think they're better than everyone else. He don't bless that. It says, the word says, God will bless humble people and folks with contrite hearts. The third benefit is this. If I'm humble, God will give me the power to change. He'll give me the power to change. Do you know what the power to change is? Grace. Grace. Grace is the power to change. You need grace to make the changes in your life. That's what they talk about to celebrate recovery. You need grace. It takes grace. James 4:6 says this, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The more humble you are, the more grace you get. I want to tell you something. You don't want to oppose God with pride. You don't want to get in a boxing match with God. Your arms are too short. They're too short. God opposes the proud. The fourth benefit is this. If I'm humble, God will relieve my stress. Guarantee you, I've told you before, nobody woke up this morning and said, I want my day to be so stressful. If you're humble, God will relieve your stress. Here's a fact, try it. When I'm humble, my stress goes down. When I'm prideful, my stress goes up. Give it a shot. And just test it. Matthew 11:29 says this. Jesus said, take the yoke I give you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble. I will restore deep rest to your soul. Don't deep rest sound so good? Deep rest sounds good. Oh, deep rest. How? Humility begins with admitting that you're not in control. The second thing you do, the second condition is this. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. If you need something in your life restored, if you need something in your life healed, first you humble yourself and then you ask God for help. How? It says, if my people will pray. You see, it finally came to me. This is why we believe prayer is so important. This is why we've dedicated 3 months to this. We found out it. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to pray. So I got to ask you, have you been praying about whatever it is that you need healing or restoration in? Have you asked God about it? How do you pray about it? I'm going to give you some tips with some verses to go along with it because you're going to need some confidence. John 16:23-24, the bottom of the outline says this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. My Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. Write down, this is your first tip that you need to remember. To remember, Jesus wants me to ask. Jesus wants me to ask. It's His idea. It's His idea for you and I to ask. Why does He want us to ask for something in prayer? I'll tell you why. It's the only way we learn to trust Him. It's the only way we learn to trust Him. You parents, grandparents, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's how the kids learn to trust the parents. We start off as babies and we cry and we scream. And so the parents recognize our need. So the parents recognize the need and they meet the need. And then when we meet the need, the parents trust the kids. No, I'm sorry. Kids trust the parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Parents never trust the kids. Silly me. But babies cry. Parents recognize the need. They meet the needs. And the kids trust the parents. See, we cry out to God. He recognizes the needs. He meets our needs. And then we learn to trust Him. Guys, if you're not asking for anything, you're not learning to trust Him. The second tip I want to tell you about when you ask is ask in Jesus' name. On the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. You see, Jesus paid for everything that you and I need on the cross. And when you say in Jesus' name, you got instant access to the Father. Instant access. Healing, restoration, bam! I spit that word out now. You can see it now in this new light. I used to didn't see it. You can see it now, buddy. You all right? You say, Jim, I didn't get everything I asked for. You say, Jim, I pray I just didn't get everything I asked for. Well, first of all, it doesn't say everything. It says anything. It says you pray for anything. If you pray for anything, then He'll figure out whether it's a legit request or not. You can ask for anything, though. He'll figure out what's best for you. So go ahead and ask. James, on the back side of your page, James 5, is any one of you in trouble? Then he should pray. He should pray. Then is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer, oh, listen to this. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Let me give you two more tips from this verse. How to pray for healing. Number three, get other people to pray with you. There's a good tip. Get other people. And it doesn't have to be the elders of the church. Even to anoint with oil is just this beautiful symbol of the Holy Spirit and of God's presence. But it doesn't have to be the elders. We'll be glad to do it, but it doesn't have to, so just get someone to pray with you and for you. Remember what Jesus said? Two or three gathered in my name, and he'll do what? He'll show up. I want to be there. I want to be there when he shows up, because it's good when he does that. Number four, here's a tip. Believe and expect an answer. When you pray and when you ask, believe it and expect an answer. Because look what he says. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. The next tip is found in Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for all you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. Look at all them alls and always. Here's your fifth tip when you pray for healing and restoration. Write this word down. Y'all have told me before. I mean, I've told y'all before. This is one of my favorite words when it comes to the Christian life. Tenacity. 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 Keep on praying until God tells you to stop. Keep on praying. Sometimes God restores and heals instantly. But sometimes it takes a while. A week, months, possibly years. It takes tenacity. You see, God's responsible for the answer. We're responsible to ask. Ask for anything. And as Lee comes, I'm going to read it one more time. I tell you what, y'all stand together and read with me 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the verse at the top of your outline. It's a big deal here. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Admit that you're not in control. Then ask God for help. I said earlier, I don't know what you've brought here today. I don't know what kind of baggage that you've brought in. I don't know where you're hurting. I don't know where you're, I know where some of you are. I don't know about the relationships that you've had. You may need healing in your finances. You may need restoration in a marriage or in a friendship or at work or in business. I want to tell you, that's what this altar's for. Grab one of us, me, Scott, Angie, Holly, Missy, we're here. We'd love to pray for you and pray a healing and restoration on your life. Remember, revealing is the beginning of healing. You can trust. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. And I know, Lord, that you're beginning to move in some of these folks' lives. They're hurting. There's some hurting folks here. And they need healing. They've been trying to be in control. And it's not working out for them. And today they're finally ready to admit that. And so now they come asking you. Asking you, Lord, for help in your name. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.